Legends of the Court.
Yeah.
We back.
You did it again.
Again.
You did it the last show.
I mean, when was even the last show?
We're back again.
So long ago.
I know, but I'm the one who says it, and then you're always like, you know, you always say it.
We back. Happy post-Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy December. Happy almost end of 2020.
2020.
Woo. Everyone who's listening, you made it. We're almost through.
Almost.
You know, it's funny. I feel like all these people are like, I can't wait for 2020 to end. As if on January 1, everything's going to be better.
I guess. Excuse me.
Excuse you.
I guess it's a mentality thing. People, you know, they want to think they're going to go to the gym. You know, they want to, like... They want
the gyms aren't going to be open,
but they want to think. But it's the new year, new me thing, you know.
Totally,
it's that mindset.
Totally,
hey,
isn't that interesting?
How the number
of the year makes people like decide to like be different. That's so funny.
Yeah, at least try for like you know half a month.
Try. Anyway,
so yeah,
this is the Queens of the Court podcast. We're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
John Hansen.
And we're here to talk to you about women's basketball. We're in our fourth season here. This is our first, like, you know, real show in the fourth season.
Episode two.
Our last show was just a long
Should we call
list
it cha-
of name dropping.
Should we call it chapters? How, like, TV shows have changed, like,
no.
Calling their things chapters.
We're not a comic book.
I mean, like, even Fortnite does
TV
it. They
shows
call
their shit chapters because they're, like, emulating, like graphic novels
like
and shit like that.
Like, Mando is, like, chapter five.
This is not a chapter.
The Jedi.
This is not a chapter. This is a season.
I know. It's episode two.
Episode two of season four.
Yes.
So we're going to get back to kind of like the format that we enjoyed doing for you last college basketball season, which was season two. We're going to do some of our favorite segments like Hot Topics.
We like segments.
Although we no longer
want
to be
order.
Sponsored by Hot Pockets. We're shooting for Jersey Mike's and Wendy's sponsorships now.
I mean, they're close. We're, like, knocking on the door.
Knocking. We're going to go through the top 25. We're going to talk about our hot topics. We're going to bring you some highlights of what's going on in the first couple weeks. How about UConn not even able to play because a positive COVID test associated with the team? Gino came out and was very vocal that this was not a player or a coach. And, you know, sounds like he's a little bit fed up with COVID protocols. UConn as a school has imposed some you know, really strong restrictions to curb any potential spread of the virus.
Yeah, Connecticut has it going pretty wild right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have their highest amount of cases that they've been going through, and Connecticut itself just hosted Bubbleville, of hosting Bubbleville. So there is some teams, extra teams in the area, things like that. But UConn was supposed to be a part of it. They're not a part of it because of all this. And I mean, I don't blame Gino for being fed up, but I also don't blame Connecticut's hard stance on this.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating thing. This has been frustrating for everybody.
Yeah,
nobody
it's not
likes
just UConn.
It.
We've
you know?
Seen a lot of games canceled or postponed. You know, UConn just basically canceled their first 2 weeks of their schedule, which was a big deal because they're UConn. But it's happening all over the place.
I mean, they definitely have from what we could see right now, they have the most strict COVID protocol when it comes down to them just like, we're going to shut off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know because, I mean, most of these teams have not had a positive test for us to kind of, like, scrutinize how they deal with it.
Totally.
So
we haven't
it's hard to blame UConn for anything or call them out like that. But they are one of a couple teams that hasn't played a game. Northwestern also hasn't played a game from our top 25, preseason top 25. There have been some pretty significant matchups already. There have been some pretty significant upsets already. You know, we have a much different looking top 25 than we did at the preseason. Stanford has ascended to number one after South Carolina has fell to North to NC State. Louisville is number two. UConn is number three. NC State is now number four. Baylor also lost a game to Arkansas this past week. So they have fallen down to number seven. Mississippi State lost to South Florida this past weekend, so they dropped to number 12. UCLA dropped out of the top 10 as well. Kentucky and Texas A&M have ascended into the top 10. Notre Dame had a couple bad losses and fell out of the top 25. Michigan and Syracuse have risen up. South Dakota State has you know, won a couple games against ranked opponents, and they're now ranked. Texas is back in the rankings. So there's been a lot of you know, kind of like you know, shakeup amongst the top 25, which is great. That's what we expected to see.
Yeah, we knew it wasn't going to be what it was.
Mm-hmm. I feel very vindicated that South Carolina has lost already, because I was kind of predicting that they weren't really going to be the top 10 right away.
I mean, yeah, we kind of knew that wasn't going to be the outcome of what that whole preseason ranking was. We saw, and we were kind of like, there's some in here that need to be adjusted. Texas came in really quick. Looks like Gonzaga is going to be on the way out big time.
With what they got going on.
Two losses already, 1-2. Hard to stay in the top 25 after you do that. But yeah, the list.
Oregon has been quietly dominant.
Yeah. Dominant. They've been great. You know,
Stanford and Louisville have been dominant. Stanford is playing their games out of Vegas because of COVID. You know, there have been some other. You know, Jeff Walls tried to schedule a game via Twitter. That was a big buzz when he did that. He was like, "Who wants to play us? We need someone to play us because UConn can't." It's been interesting. So, wild ride for sure. I think it's only going to get more and more wild when I look at like what games are on each day. I see postponed, canceled, canceled, canceled. So who knows how long the season's going to last? Like, we know the Ivy League isn't even playing a season.
It's sad. It's another year of sad state of affairs that we have going on. I expect big things to happen where, you know, I expect a bubble. That's the only way I expect the NCAA to finish the season with the March Madness, is if they go hard bubble.
Well, I think the tournament will be a hard bubble, no matter what.
But that's what I'm saying. The bubble, the tournament has to be a hard bubble.
But what will they do with season like league play? I mean, these are, you know, I mean, the Pac-12.
How do you
Pac-12
seed?
Is all up and down from California to Colorado, from Washington to San Diego.
Totally. How do you seed some of these teams? How do you do a ton of? There's so many things that go into it that you might lose it again, and you might lose another year.
Ugh, I'd be so devastated if there wasn't a tournament this year.
Yeah,
I'd love tournament time.
But let's stay on good things.
Let's try to get some good juju out there.
Yeah, let's pretend like none of that's going to happen right now.
Okay.
And we're not living in the COVID world. We are.
Well, let's do it. Shall we get into some hot topics?
Yeah, sure.
Hot topics. So Hot Topics is our segment where we are going to bring you, each of us is going to issue five statements at the other, and the other one is either going to agree or disagree by offering a
yas queen
or a
nah girl.
Okay.
Got it?
You ready to go?
You got it?
I got it.
I got it.
I'm going to time.
Okay, I'll go first.
We get 5 minutes on the clock to get through all 10 of our Hot Topics.
Whoop, whoop.
Are we ready? On your mark, get set. Hot topic.
Was that a go? All right. So South Carolina will not be a top 10 team by the end of the season.
Ooh. No, girl. I think they're still a top 10 team.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I don't think they're going to fall that far. Probably not top 5, but top 10 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oregon State will upset Oregon.
Nah, girl. I don't think so. I think Oregon's going to surprise people. I think Kelly Graves and his coaching and what he's going to be able to do with the fresh team, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. And I think Oregon State lost some big pieces too. So I think that, you know, I still think Oregon's a better team.
Okay. Moving on. COVID will impact the regular season and force early cancellation and March Madness bubble. Basically what I was just saying.
Will force a season cancellation?
Yes, an early cancellation to the season.
And
force March Madness bubble.
I mean, yes to the bubble, no to the end of the season. So, Yas Queen, bubble, Nah Girl season.
Okay.
Yas Queen, COVID will affect everything.
Okay. This year, there will be no clear-cut number one draft pick.
Yas Queen. I feel like already it feels very unclear. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we just had the WNBA lottery draft lottery that just happened, and we know that New York is going to go number one, and right after, a whole bunch of like WNBA mock drafts came out, and like no one has any idea.
They're all different.
And they're all based on like which player performed great that week.
Yep. And then last one, Baylor won't win the Big 12 this year.
I'll go with a Yas Queen. I feel like there's enough competition there between like Texas and West Virginia, and isn't Iowa State in the Big 12 too?
Iowa State isn't there.
I feel like any one of those teams could end up taking the crown from Baylor. So while Baylor still probably has the best chance to do it, I'm willing to throw you a Yas Queen.
Yas.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, that's my five. Six-ish.
All right, here we go. Ready? Number of contests played should be a factor for the selection committee come tournament time.
Nah, girl.
Nah?
Nope. I can't say that because you look at how Jeff Walls was literally sitting there trying to schedule a game against another team because he, on the other end, is doing the right things. Mm-hmm. You can't penalize the teams that are doing the right things and get postponements against big matchups because they don't get to have them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fucked up, not them.
I mean, no one's fucking up, right?
Like, but I'm saying, how are you going to penalize or hurt?
That's fair.
Or,
that's
like,
fair.
You know,
that's fair. The team with the most reliable point guard in the top 10 will win the national championship.
Damn, that's a big one.
It's a good one, right?
I got to think.
Don't think too long.
The top point guard. How much time do I got left? I got it. Yes. Shit. Yas Queen.
Okay.
Yas Queen.
I like it.
There's two that I really like in Haley Van Lith and Paige Beckers that I think could end up being in the top five and win the championship. So, sure.
Both freshmen, too. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Despite all the offseason losses, the Pac-12 is still the strongest conference top to bottom.
Yes. Yas Queen. Yeah. I love the Pac-12. I think they get all the recruits basically going forward, and who doesn't want to live on the West Coast if you're going to pick like a conference of areas to play against and go around and things like that? I would love it.
All right. Sounds good. Kara Lawson will quietly win ACC Coach of the Year awards in her first year at Duke.
Nah, girl.
Nah?
Nah. I think there's enough other compelling stories out there that there's going to be a big program like, say, Texas that overperforms like crazy. And I think, you know, things like that will happen. Not Duke. I think Duke will be lucky to be ranked by the end of the year.
Okay. Basketball is changing. If you can't shoot the three, you don't belong on the floor.
Yas Queen?
You agree with that?
Yeah. Like, to some extent, but there's like, you don't need all five of your positions to shoot threes.
Okay, so no, girl.
No, but I'm saying, but like, to some extent, I'm saying yes, queen. Because like, that's the style of basketball I want played. That's the style of basketball I think wins. But to have one person on your team that doesn't rip threes, that is very productive at, say, rebounding or something like that. I don't know if you need everybody, but I think majority, yes.
I think in general, you got to be able to shoot the three.
I think 8 out of your 12 players that are on your roster should be able to, you know, consistent, like hit a 30 to 40% rate, you know?
I think
somewhere in that range. I think you can have 4 people that maybe you have like a super fast skilled guard, something like that, you know, couple big forwards and centers that don't rip threes. That's what I could see the roster being made up of. But if you can't hit the three going forward, your teams aren't going to win.
Cool. All right. Well, that does it for our hot topics. That was pretty good. That was a good hot topic session.
Yeah, first one. High five. Yeah, high five. So we're back. Boom. Let's go. We're back. We're back. Clocking in and we're back.
Good stuff. Some provocative stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all plays out. I'm interested. We're going to see Oregon State this week.
That's why, yeah.
So
that'll
be a fun game to watch. Yeah. We'll talk about kind of what to watch in the next segment. But let's talk a little bit about what's happened already so far. So tell me, what has been the biggest upset for you so far that you've watched?
Biggest upset in sense of, unranked versus ranked? I think for me, biggest upset in general will probably be USF against Mississippi State.
South Florida beating Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Tight game.
Yeah, tight game, overtime game. Mm-hmm. South Florida's been playing great.
Yeah, they played Baylor really tough, too.
They're a team that could end up being, one of those, top 15, and above, so 15 to 25, that, puts a lot of pressure on teams this year. They're not ranked now, but they will be.
I feel like every year they start outside the top 25 and finish in that 15 to 25 range.
Totally. I feel like a lot of people don't expect that program and that school in general in everything. Every single sport they play in, they always get second guess because of how new they are to being a D1 program.
And the conference just isn't that good. But I feel like they were one of those teams that really rose to the challenge of UConn. They were usually one of the only teams in that conference.
Totally.
That could even hang with UConn. And I feel like that's, improved the quality of their program a lot.
Totally. And their school, I heard, is just absolutely gorgeous.
Dope.
So, yeah, I heard it's amazing, and you're going to get some people just based on that alone. So, hopefully that this continues, because you would like to see other programs have, outside of the big conferences, just be electric and, fun and, have all this going on. So, they're scheduling big games.
Right. I mean, they're scheduling big games, and they're winning some big games, and so, good on them. Mississippi State is no easy team to beat, regardless of whether we think they deserve to be in the top five or not.
And to play, and again, to schedule those, you have confidence in your team.
Yeah.
So, good on them for making early tests, too. I got to say they're probably one of the more surprising teams just based on that.
Yeah.
What about you? What you feeling?
So for me, the biggest upset so far is it's not a game, it's a team, and that's South Dakota State. South Dakota State has two big upsets already.
Two.
Overranked opponents. They took down Gonzaga and Iowa State. South Dakota State has been one of those programs that's been a really strong mid-major program for a while.
Yeah.
Really consistently, right on the bubble of being ready to really compete. And beating a couple ranked teams, maybe they weren't the highest ranked teams, but they were still ranked teams. I think that says a lot about the kind of program they are. They're ranked right now. They're ranked number 22. And maybe they're poised finally to take an NCAA run here. I feel like they're led by their veterans, redshirt junior Maya Selland and Haley Greer, a graduate student, and they're both really strong players that, I think they can go really far. And I think they schedule a tough schedule every year. They often play programs like Notre Dame or Iowa State or these tough programs, and they do really well. And most of the time they have to do the traveling, because who wants to go to South Dakota?
Nobody.
So,
but they keep doing it. They keep doing great stuff.
Yeah.
So let's give our hats off to them.
Yeah, totally. So big upset so far. Keep an eye on them.
We salute you.
We salute you, South Dakota State.
Bringing that back. But all right, what's on our next segment agenda? Where we go?
I think we go to our wow moment so far. Wow.
Wow.
So what has been the biggest wow moment for you so far?
Charlie Collier's 40-point explosion game that she had the other day. I got to say it's the most wow to me based on what she's done, where she was last year. Obviously, she was picked to be preseason great. You know, she has all the skill. We just didn't really see a ton of it last year.
Well, now she's got a new coach that,
but,
you know.
That believes, right? You know, like, yeah. If you have, you saw what he did with Tierra McCowan, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Knows what he's doing with bigs, knows how to use them, and it's impressive with where I think they could go. I think they were ranked outside the top 25, and I thought they should have been. Mm-hmm. I think they will be ranked inside the, you know, top 10 by the end of the year.
In the top 10?
10.
Wow. Bold.
Bold.
I'm not sure they're going to be there this year. Maybe next year. But, yeah, I mean, Vic Schaefer's a great coach. He turned the Mississippi State program around. So Texas is a program that's already very, very, very committed to their athletics departments and programs.
Huge. I mean, my God.
I think he can do big things with them. I just don't know if it'll happen this year.
You can't keep letting Baylor out-recruit you in your own state when you're Texas.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, that's how Texas is supposed to be. We should be getting the number one this, that, everything. That's how they look at it in every sport. Every single sport. So, yeah, hopefully this brings it.
Who doesn't want to, like, go live in, like, Austin?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's great.
So
that's my wow moment, her 40-point
yeah, I mean,
explosion.
An
like, you gotta say, like...
the first game of the season for them?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah. I mean, she just came out the gate and was like, boom, I'm here.
Boom. Hey.
Yeah.
You put me on this list, I'm here.
Yeah, right? I'm gonna drop 40.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that was a great performance, and like hopefully we see more of the same from her. I mean, I think they have the Duke transfer or not transfer, but you know graduate student Kira Lambert,
yes.
Playing their point right now, and that's a big pickup for that team, I think, and I think that the two of them together can work really nicely. So
totally, I think this team can do a lot, and I think. She's going to be huge. I don't know if she can get drafted this year. I saw a lot of mock drafts instantly after the 40-point game.
Right.
Boom. One.
That's what I mean.
Like,
that's what I mean.
I'm like, come on. How could she be one after one game? Like, relax. Like,
right?
I get it. But, like, there's not much going off of from the year before. But it's my wow moment for this year so far.
Cool.
How about you?
My wow moment was watching Louisville absolutely dismantle DePaul and the Jimmy V Classic on ESPN. They came in ready to play against UConn. That was who the game was supposed to be against. And then UConn had to back out. DePaul stepped in and was like, we'll do it. I want to play top programs. Good for DePaul. And Louisville absolutely just wrecked them. I mean... It was, the end of the final score was 116-75, but, like, they were up by, like, 50 points when they pulled their starters and put in their replacement
points. Yeah, that 75 points was generous.
Yeah.
By the end of that. If they kept their starters in, they weren't putting up that many points.
Yeah. And, like, I know DePaul didn't shoot the three well in this game, and they're the team that really relies on the three. So, like, you know, you gotta account for that in some of the point differential.
Sure.
There were a lot of possessions in that game, like more so than the average women's college basketball game. But, Louisville dropped 40 points in the third quarter. 40 points in a 10-minute quarter. That's crazy.
It's nuts.
That's crazy for any pro. That's crazy for a pro team. It's insane for a college program.
Insane.
I mean, that's like as many points as you get in like some of these like Pac-12 or like SEC games where everyone's all about defense and no one can score. But like Louisville dropping 40 in a quarter.
Yeah. 40.
So that was the biggest wow moment for me. It was kind of like, oh shit, Louisville, like it doesn't matter who's on the court. Louisville's real good.
Real good. Haley looks great. Team looks great.
Haley looks great. Olivia Cochran looks great. The two freshmen.
Yeah.
Dana Evans, you know, is going to be there and be solid the whole year.
Yeah.
They're a really good team.
Team's scary.
Yeah. So.
I think if those two freshmen keep playing the way they do, they will be in a Final Four team.
Yeah. So that was my wow moment. I just feel like I was wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, coming up this week, a couple games that, you know, you want to like kind of keep an eye out for. Louisville Duke on Wednesday should be a fun game. Kara Lawson, you know, has quietly gone 3-0 so far with her Duke team, and we'll see how they do in their first ACC action against Louisville. That's on Wednesday, ACC Network. UConn is getting their first game action this coming week on Saturday against UMass Lowell. You know, hopefully we get to see that game. Hopefully we can see what UConn has, you know, what they have in store for the rest of the of women's college basketball. Will Paige Beckers be everything we want her to be? Will she start or will she come off the bench? It'd be interesting to see kind of like, you know, how he plays it.
Yeah.
And then Oregon and Oregon State renew their rivalry on Sunday at 7 Eastern. So that's the other big game to kind of look out for me.
That's the one for this week that I've highlighted.
Those are the games that I want to keep an eye on. I'm not sure any of them are nationally televised, unfortunately. But, you know, you can keep an eye out for the ACC Network or the Pac-12 Network.
So have you looked at the schedule for tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Did I miss something big?
No, just the fact that it's canceled.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, it's just, I know you've been saying it, but, like, it's just hard. It's, like, hard to look, you know?
Yeah.
Hard for that to be the constant.
It's real rough. Cancel, postponed. Yeah. So, we just have to keep it day by day. You know, who knows what games are going to be played, what games aren't. But those are the games that we're looking forward to this week, or I'm looking forward to this week. They should be fun games. Yeah. So, keep an eye out. You know, check the box scores on ESPN or whatever you can to follow the games.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye out, though, because you got to make sure these games are happening as well. So, yeah, I hope we get these good matchups in this week.
Yeah, I hope we get matchups in general, you know, just to sink our teeth into. But I'm really excited to see UConn play. I really want to see what they're going to bring this year. I think that, for me, they are the team to beat.
Yeah. All right. So what do we have next? Are we on our last segment?
I think all we have left are the spotlights.
Yeah.
We're doing two spotlights.
So new addition to our Spotlight Queen segment, we have our Princess Spotlight.
So we're doing Spotlight Queens and Spotlight Princess. We have to say it that way.
Spotlight.
Princess.
Princess.
Yeah, emphasis on the S.
Princess.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Spotlight Queens.
And Princess.
Princess. All right. So basically what we're trying to do here is, you know, we want to put a spotlight on, you know, some of the best players and the best performances each week. But we also want to keep an eye on the freshmen. And really kind of like give you some insight into like who the stars of tomorrow are, or the stars of like today, tomorrow, something like that.
Today, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, today.
All right, yeah.
So, Spotlight Queen, I'm going to go first. My Spotlight Queen this week is going to be Ashley Jones. Ashley Jones for Iowa State, she is currently averaging 31.5 points per game through four games. And that's only because she had an unfortunate, you know, game of 25 points. Her other three games are 32, 33, and 36. So this is a player who is averaging, you know, more than 30 points a game. She, you know, including she scored 32 of Iowa State's 65 in a very tough, close loss to South Carolina. This is a really impressive player. Her Instagram is super fun. You can... Her handle is Ashley Jones 10 at, or that's it, just Ashley Jones 10. My bad, I forgot.
That's how Instagram works.
But yes. But her name is spelled a little bit differently, so it's Ashley, Ashley, Jones, Jones, 10, the number 10, 10. So throw her a follow. Her Instagram is super active. She's super fun. Lots of basketball. Lots of her just chilling with her buddies and friends.
Bop.
But throw her a follow. This is a player that you are going to see in the WNBA in the next year or two, you know, raining buckets. So,
I mean, it looks like she won Player of the Week.
Boom.
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 Instagram.
So, Spotlight Queen.
Spotlight Queen.
So that's Ashley Jones. Plays for Iowa State. Keep an eye on her. Follow her year this year. She's going to be a high draft pick for sure.
All right. Who's your princess.
My spotlight princess is Stanford's Cameron Brink. So, okay. 6'4" Cameron Brink, you know, she came out, you know, had 17 points and 9 boards off the bench in Stanford's first game. And this is for a Stanford team that is loaded. Like, we're talking like they've got like 13 or 14 players getting minutes in these games. And the freshmen are not the first consideration. So the fact that she came off the bench and dropped 17 and 9 is huge. So this is going to be a star player. She was a top 5 recruit, you know, from in the off or from high school. And she's just an absolute beast. 6'4". She does it all. Family friends with the Currys, you know, grew up with Steph and Seth.
Yeah, crazy. Mom just was best friends with her mom in college.
Comes from like a big, like, you know, family of athletes. So this is a player to look out for.
Yeah.
And her Instagram is like fucking fire. Because like she is tall.
What is it?
And she's very model-like. You can tell by her Instagram that, you know, she's into it. Her Instagram is Cameron Brink 22, and it's CameronBrink 22. And she's awesome. And, you know, she's going to be one of those players that, like, you know, brand sponsors and are going to just eat up because, you know, aside from being an absolute baller of a player, she's beautiful. And unfortunately, yeah, we still live in a world where that matters a lot.
Totally.
So.
Definitely.
But
yeah, she's cool.
But throw her a follow. She posts a lot. She's really active. And she's going to be a really fun player to watch for the next 4 years. Look out, Pac-12.
All right.
Who you got?
All right. So I'm going with the player that I've been mentioning all day, it seems like.
Harry McDonald?
No, that was last season.
Oh, that was last season.
But I'm going to go with Charlie Collier.
Charlie Collier.
So she's been going off, but she's also gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Great Instagram. So fun. You know, she posts stories. She posts fun stuff. You know. I think she's a great follow. I think she's somebody to keep your eye on because she is going to be a huge star. So drop her a follow. It is her Instagram tag is CHARLIC_14. Get it. Get on it.
Yeah, her Instagram's fire.
Fire. It's lit. She takes great photos, cool photos, fun photos. Things are fun.
She just turned 21.
Yas,
queen.
Yas Queen.
Get it.
Yas Queen. Okay. And then my second one.
Oh, I love when like the 6'5", like, you know, bigs like rock out like, you know, high stiletto heels and like they're
prototype. Ooh, yeah, and they're like,
I don't need these, but like I'm gonna be 6'8", motherfucker.
I'm gonna be 6'8".
Look the fuck out.
Love it. So my second one.
Yeah, she crushes.
For my princess. It is going to be Haley Van Lith.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go with Haley.
She had
a great start to the season.
She just had such a good start. And
she's going to be such a fun player to watch.
She's got this attitude about her that is just going to be something you want to see every game. You know, she's going to draw people in just because, like, she is a bulldog out there. She wants to play tough D.
College-ready body.
And then rip a three in your face. Yeah. And then take you off the dribble to the hole. Like,
yeah, she's great.
She's great. She has this, you know, that extra motor that everybody wants to see. Her Instagram handle is, I'm pretty sure it's just her name. Just let me make
There's
sure.
a reason she yes. was on the Player of the Year preseason list.
As a freshman, yes. So her Instagram handle is her name. It is Haley, HAILEY Van, VAN, Lith, LITH 11. So give her the follow. She is somebody that is going to be a huge star for the next 20 years, you know?
She posts a lot too.
Yeah. And it's all fun basketball. Her, you could tell, she just is a baller. Girl just loves to play ball. So yeah, those are spotlight queens this week and princesses.
She did a whole post on like Juneteenth. And, like, you know, like, take the time to educate yourself. There's never a good time, an easy time to have uncomfortable conversations. The time is now. Like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
Like, you know, represent, speak out.
That generation's a little bit better than.
You just never know when, like, people are, like, especially, like, if people are, like, from the South or, like, you know, grow up in, like, families that
sure.
maybe don't feel that
sure.
way. But it is hard to imagine how you could be, like, this deep in women's basketball and be racist.
Exactly.
Like, it seems like it'd be silly.
It just doesn't go hand in hand.
It doesn't really go
having really, you know, outspoken shitty views in women's sports in general doesn't really fly. You saw it with that one women's soccer player who's like one of the best defenders in the U.S.
Yeah.
And
she just was like kicked off the team.
Kicked off the team. They don't even talk. Like, you know, she's not even like mentioned. Yeah. Like, they don't even care. We just can't. Like, you know, you can be racist and be all about God, but.
But yeah, you got to be all about your team first.
You got to be about your team and your fam there.
Anyway, not to take away from Hailey Van Lith, her Instagram's awesome. There's pictures of her hanging out with like Gigi and Kobe.
Yes.
So yeah, you know, you go, Hailey. Like, I can't wait to watch your career and just see how you progress. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. But I'm excited. This is an exciting year. We love that the season's back and rolling, and
yeah.
You know, we got some stuff going, even though we got cancellations and stuff happening. But really looking forward to. The rest of this year.
The college game is really our passion. Like, yeah. We love the WNBA too, but like the college game is just so fun.
And there's just more to talk about.
There's so
it's
many
just
teams
a better. It's
and...
it's deeper, richer.
Yeah.
You know, and like yeah. we love both games just as much, and it's just something special about the women's game, and March Madness is like this special beast. So from
super
us,
special.
From us at the King Size Queens over here, I'm John Hansen.
I'm Paul Jafrida. This has been the Queens of the Court podcast. Thank you for listening and being with us. We cannot wait to bring you more content. And yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great season.
Thanks again, and bye.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast to all of the queens.